You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on September 12th, 2024. And this week we're talking about the size of churches and whether or not a church can become too big. In a recent video, a mega church pastor charged that those who are critical of larger churches are, as he put it, hypocrites. Well, why did he say that? And why would anyone think that a church could become too large? Well, we're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about and some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/09-12-24. Now for our discussion this week. Texas megachurch pastor fires back at critics of large churches. From FaithWire, Texas-based pastor Ed Young believes those who think megachurches are just too big are hypocrites. The founder and senior pastor of the Multi-Site Fellowship Church in Grapevine issued the bold statement in a video shared to his Facebook page. Young's church, for context, reported a weekly attendance of 24,000 in 2020. Now, that article contains some quotes from this pastor, but I was able to track down the original video, and I thought it would be good to hear from him directly. This is what he had to say.
Your church is just too big. I've heard people tell me that a lot. It's too big. It's a mega church. Well, that's got to be one of the most hypocritical statements someone can make, because the person making the statement goes to massive concerts. They would go to a game, a football game. They would go to a massive mall, and they never really say that about those entities, but they always say the church is too big. Hey, if you think the church is too big, then you're not going to like heaven, because heaven is going to be a big place. If a church is around a lot of people, it should be big in the context of being big.
Now, a couple of points as we begin here. I don't know who this guy is. Before reading the story, I had never heard of Ed Young before. And I don't say that in an attempt to disparage him as some nobody. I know that there are a lot more people who know him than who know me. I'm simply saying that to make the point that I'm just out of the loop. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know anything about what he teaches. I don't know anything about what this mega church is like, though from his comments in that video, I do have some idea of what that mega church is like. But I thought before about having a discussion on this topic about the size of churches, and this provided a good opportunity to discuss it. But I wanted to first talk about some of his comments, because there are a few problems with what he said. Number one was likening a church to an entertainment venue like a football game or a concert. Now, maybe this shouldn't come as a surprise from a mega church pastor, but a church, when it gathers for worship, that is not for our entertainment. We are there to honor God. Jesus said when he was talking to the Samaritan woman by the well, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." God is seeking worshipers. We come together to worship in order to please him, not to please ourselves. We also are there to encourage one another. The Hebrew writer said, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The assembly, when we come together, it's not just about ourselves. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't enjoy singing or other aspects of our worship, but that is not why we come together. And think of the analogies that he used. A football game may have 50,000 people in attendance, but there are only 53 people on the active roster if you're looking at an NFL game, and only 11 people are on the field at a time. You think about a concert, you might have hundreds or thousands of people who are in attendance, but there are only a handful of people in the band. Thinking of church this way turns people into spectators instead of participants. And this is not what the Lord designed his church to be. Paul told the brethren in Ephesus, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Every part is important. Every part is working together. We are not there to spectate. We are there to participate, to contribute, to encourage, to be involved. But the reason why mega churches are so popular is because people want to be consumers and not contributors. They want to be watching the game, not be a member of the team. But number two, he was also comparing a local church with heaven. Heaven is a place for all those who are saved, not just a group of people, but for everyone who is saved. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this place was for all of his people, those who died in Christ and those who belong to him when he returns. Paul wrote about this when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The universal church is the body of all those who are saved. After describing the church as the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, "The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." There is just one church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, "I will build my church." But there are many churches, many local congregations. Paul said in Romans 16, 16, "The churches of Christ greet you." Now, we get a picture in the book of Revelation of the number of people in heaven. It says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That was after describing the 144,000 from the tribes of Israel at the beginning part of that chapter. So this number that is being described as being in heaven is much larger than that. Now, does that mean we could have hundreds of thousands or millions of people in a local church? No. And I don't think that this guy would say that you can have that either. So really, this is just a silly argument that ignores the difference between the universal church and the local church. But another problem with what he said is that this is about what we like. He said, if we think the church is too big, or a particular church is too big, then we're not going to like heaven. But this is not about what we like. Heaven is the way that it is because that is how God made it. Local churches are the way that they are, or they should be, because that is how the Lord designed them to be. Neither of those are about our preferences. So this is not about what we like, it's about what God has designed. Now, moving on from his comments, there's another question I want us to consider. When is a church too big? And there are a few points I want us to think about, that we can get to a point where a local church is too big. When do we get to that point? Number one, a church is too big when it cannot function properly. Well, what does that mean? In a verse that we already looked at, the church is described as a body that functions together. Ephesians 4:16, "The whole body fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." In the body, every part is to contribute to the functioning of the body. One of the challenges in a larger church, and not just a mega church, but in a larger church, is getting everyone involved. In smaller churches, it's much easier for people to get involved because they are needed, because there's a lot more work to do and less people to do it. That doesn't mean a bigger church is worse. It just means that there is a challenge there to get everyone involved. So using the analogy that he used of a football game, are we participating as members of the same team, or are some of us participating and the rest are just spectating? And number two, a church is too big when elders cannot shepherd the flock. Peter told the elders, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." To shepherd the flock means to feed it, to guide it, to protect it. Realistically, how many people can a small group of elders oversee, whether it's two or three elders or even 8 to 10 elders? How many people can they oversee? The Hebrew writer said, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." This is a serious responsibility to provide spiritual leadership and instruction. Can they do that for thousands of people? Is that even possible for that to be done? And going back to what Peter wrote, they are to be examples to the flock in 1 Peter 5 and verse 3 in that verse that we read. Can the members of a multi-thousand member church really look to the elders as examples when they don't really spend time with them? Because they can't spend time with everyone when the church is of that size. And number three, a church is too big when the members cannot encourage one another. This is one of the reasons why we assemble. Going back to the verse that we looked at in Hebrews chapter 10, we are to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, but we are to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This becomes much more difficult when we don't even know one another. Maybe with some of these mega churches, the church is divided into multiple services and sometimes people won't even worship together. Maybe they don't have different worship services, but maybe the assembly is so large that people just cannot possibly know everyone who is in it. Now, this doesn't mean a church needs to be small, but whatever the size it is, we need to be able to encourage one another, not just be passive spectators who happen to be in the same room. So can a church get too big? Yes. And that's not a matter of preference. It's just that at a certain point, it can no longer function the way that the Lord intends for the church to function. We need to be more than just spectators like those who attend a concert or a football game. We need to be active members of our local churches, participating together in the Lord's work and encouraging one another. Now that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this discussion to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/09-12-24. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who may be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, then that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.